Blog Talk Radio.
Need a professional who specializes in writing, photography, or web design, contact Tom Slayton. At Tom's website, tomslayton.com, you'll find brilliant WordPress themes, discounts and links for fantastic online services, and sage wisdom from the master himself, Tom Slayton. tomslayton.com even features a wonderful eclectic collection of photographs seldom seen elsewhere. Visit tomslayton.com. That's TOMSLATIN.com.
Hi everyone, Jennifer Perry here, or Madam Perry, your cruise director on Madam Perry Salon. So happy to have you here, and this is a guest that everyone loved when I had her before, and couldn't wait till she comes back, so she'll be with you in just a minute. But before, I've got a couple of cool things to tell you. One is, are you looking for a wireless carrier that has it all, like international calling to over 130 countries, or being able to use your cell phone as your very own hotspot? Of course you are. Flash Wireless is at your service with the option that best fits you with no contract. Does it get any better than that? Yes, it does. How? I want you to go to the website, flashwireless.com. And the website will ask you if you were referred by someone. So enter this referral number, 916-548-7406. That's 916-548-7406. And that's the number you put in for the referral, and that'll get you the service you deserve. And if you didn't get that written down, it's going to be on the Madam Perry Salon page, and it'll be at the bottom of this podcast page information when afterwards. So you can get all that down. And I am thrilled to have with us here tonight Errol Baru from, where are you, Victoria?
I've actually moved recently, so I'm sort of rural Victoria now, just outside of Ballarat.
Oh, okay. So what time is it there for you?
Early morning, around 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
freezing
okay.
Cold.
Freezing, that's my next question I was going to ask you. Freezing cold, huh? Because your weather is exactly the opposite from ours, right?
It is. So
yeah.
It's winter at the moment. The last week we sort of had that cold snap where we're averaging at night maybe 0-1 degree Celsius. And so we're down to the single figures. But I'm looking out the window at the moment on the property and the sun's shining. So it might be a nice day.
Oh, okay, good. Well, right here in Atlanta, it's a bit of a heat wave. And my girlfriend Kenya, who may call in later, Kenya says she was riding home with no air conditioning in Atlanta traffic. She said, I feel like a piece of chicken frying. I said, well, my air conditioning at home went out. I'm sweating like a whore in church. So, you know, either way. So right now, I'll just try to put my mind, see how my imagination works, to pretend that I'm where you are. And feeling the coolness there, the little your post cold snap. So anyway, Juliana Ray is the gal that most of your fans know the most about, love the most. The Juliana Ray Chronicles, and I am reading that now.
Oh, wow, great!
Yeah, I'm so excited. And so you're described as a dystopian urban fantasy author. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah. That's very accurate. These days, it's the dystopian genre is basically what I focus on, and just my concerns in the world tend to come through my writing in the fictional and the non-fictional stuff that I do these days. So, I don't think I'm actually really known for anything else other than dystopian, as opposed to the urban fantasy genre that's tended to sway toward a more sort of serious direction.
What's the difference between the two, or is there a big difference?
Well, I suppose that there is a bit of a difference. The dystopian genre itself, if you're keeping it to its true genre, you're discussing the ins and outs and the pitfalls of society and what's happening now in the present and potential consequences down the track, as opposed to the urban fantasy genre, which the J-Ray Chronicles do come under that banner, only because of certain characters that I've introduced to sort of lighten the mood on such a serious topic anyway about society with Watchers and that paranormal element. And that's sort of what the urban genre, urban fantasy genre is about, is sort of introducing something that you wouldn't normally come across in your typical fantasy genre, so to speak. So you're bending the rules a little bit.
So tell me more about, I'm interested in, you're talking about reflecting on society, and I think we talked about that before. You know, you're compared to me, you know, you're a young person, and yet you certainly have your eye on society and people and what's going on, behavior. I mean, I always call myself an armchair sociologist or ethnographer, but
yeah.
I get the feeling that you know, that you certainly keep a strong awareness of what's going on with different people, behavior of a group,
yeah,
countries, mindsets. Help me out here.
It's just one of those things, I guess, that I've always been drawn to. Even as a young, you know, a real littlie, I was sort of acutely aware of my surroundings and what was going on, how people were interacting with each other, and always questioning why they were acting in such a way, good or bad, really. So as far as, you know, just growing up like that, I've just become very aware of what was, you know, how society was back then as opposed to now, and the massive changes, even though they were subtly introduced, how big and consequential they are to us as essentially a human race. There's a lot of concerning things out there, you know, with the obvious aside, such as ISIS and the terrorism and everything, but the things that Western, the liberal democracies are introducing to society at the moment, especially under the guise of, well, we need to protect society against terrorism, therefore we're going to do this, this, and this. I'm just acutely aware of what's happening and where it's potentially leading us down as far as police states, and just losing that bit of freedom, or a lot of freedom, I suppose, as opposed to what we had in the 80s and the 70s.
Mm-hmm. So you know, you said even at a very young age, you were aware of the world around you, and probably, I imagine that's very, you said even as young as age 8, you began writing. And,
that's right, yeah.
And it was somewhat of an escape. And but then again, to be aware, like you said, to be aware of your surroundings, even at a young age, I would imagine that you probably learned a lot, from people around you? Because, you know, when young people hear adults talking around them, we may or may not always understand what they mean. Or we may not understand the words that they use.
Yeah, this is true. I just remember my childhood as, I was always that kid in the corner that always preferred to be with adults. I remember sitting in the corner and just constantly listening to their conversations and thinking, what are they talking about? And every now and then I'd come up and tug on someone's shirt and try and get someone's attention. But I don't know where that actually came from, but that's just something that's always been a part of me, where I've sat in the corner of a room and just thought, oh, okay, what's going on? Maybe it's the writer thing where I'm just, my ears are flapping in the wind and I'm trying to pick up dialogue to use for a book. But
yeah, you know, that's what the playwright David Mamet said, that's how he gets a lot of, he just eavesdrops on people in cafes, restaurants, or wherever to get good dialogue, and You know, I love doing that as well, because my husband, we were at lunch recently, and I just quit talking. He says, what? And it was one of those places that has TVs up on the ceiling, so he's going, what? I said, this table behind you just has me fascinated.
You know? Yeah, I'm absolutely guilty of the same thing, I have to admit.
But of course, with my husband's kind now, he figures, well, it must be good and funny. He says, okay, can you tell me now? Are you sure you're going to remember? Should you be writing this down?
Yeah, it's not something you really want to openly admit, but if I'm sitting on a bus, on a train, in the city, you know, the cafe, like you said, I'm constantly listening in on what everyone's got to say and trying to just sort of connect the dots, I guess. And a lot of it does go into my books, I have to admit. I used to say this thing on Twitter that, you know, if I like you, I won't kill you in my books, or if I like you, I won't include you in my dialogue in my book. So it's just one of those things, I guess, as a writer. You just can't help it. It's inbuilt.
Yeah. Did you read a lot as a child?
I don't think there was much time where I didn't have a book in my hands. Started off with the wonderful Alice in Wonderland. I remember borrowing that book from, that was the first book I ever borrowed from the library. So I must have been about 6 when I borrowed that. And just haven't stopped.
So I think you just have a curiosity, I think, too, about people and behavior. And then again, probably, and it sounds, do you also, like, make a somewhat of an observer's or an empirical analysis of people's behavior and then project what the future could be from that?
Absolutely. I've got a lot of friends in professions such as corrections and the emergency services type fields like ambulance, police, and to listen to them having a conversation and where things are headed, and it really is, when you've got the insight of people who work in emergency services next to you, it's, you really do stand back and you think, wow, well, this is something that's really happening. And you know, you can see the world really changing very quickly these days before your eyes. I'm not sure if it's me as an adult seeing this, or if things really are moving that quickly with different laws and just situations, social situations that are occurring, especially post 9/11 and what happened there.
Yeah, well, and that's a whole different story. So let me ask you on the when you begin to create worlds, and I like what you said, you know, you write to meet people who will never exist, and to explore undiscovered worlds, be them good or evil.
Yeah.
And I'm reading this, too, from your website. Fiction is an adventure for me. So, you know, sometimes people will always say things like, but you have to write what you know. Write what you know. Well, if you did, you know, we might not have any science fiction, unless you're channeling a past life or something. But, you know, we wouldn't have this kind of work and so forth. And even, you know, Jimi Hendrix, the musician.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I'm meeting a lot of people now who are under 40 who don't know who Hendrix is. But me...
Love Hendrix.
Good. So I should have known better. But, you know, he even said, I saw a documentary on him, and he said that sometimes when he writes songs, like, first of all, he'll create a whole backstory. Like, he'll create some people on the planet of Mars, and like a whole story, and almost like a soap opera and conflict of these characters of people on Mars, and then they go to war. And then that's the part he takes out of this whole backstory he's written to create a song out of.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how I do things. Like, I've been writing about J. Ray and the Chronicles since I was about 8 years old, 12 years old, was when I really started to flesh out the storylines. But mainly for my benefit, I was creating a world to keep myself occupied, because there weren't books out there that offered that, especially back then. You never came across dystopian novels short of reading Orwell or Huxley. So I was creating this world to keep myself occupied. And by the time, you know, I became confident enough to write and publish, I was able to just grab those real key elements out of the world I created and all right, well, this is what I'm going to focus on. This is the bit that was really intriguing and important to myself, so therefore I'll write a book around it. And that's essentially how I came up with the notion of the J-Ray Chronicles, was just each book sort of got this key element from the worlds that I used to write about.
So how did you create the, would you tell us, actually, Juliana Ray herself, you know, how did you envision her? Was she, you know, based on someone or an actress or a character that you knew or a person or maybe an alter ego of Errol Baru?
Probably, I dare say, a little bit of an alter ego. I've still yet to come across anyone sort of in the cinematic world that even closely resembling J-Ray. So it's just one of those things, I guess, that I almost pictured myself as who I'd be if this world occurred. And perhaps even in the recent writings, it's sort of my way of delving in deeper to see how I'd react to that world as well, and how to survive in that world, and just, you know, an ongoing adventure, I guess.
Tell me, do you have a lot in common, if you don't mind me asking, do you have a lot in common with J-Ray as far as, you know, the way she can handle weapons or her survival instincts or...
Well, I'm a bit of a prepper in that, especially since I've moved back out to the rural property where the J-Ray Chronicles were conceived. I'm very self-sufficient, so I've got the rainwater at the tanks, and I've just finished planting the next season of fruit and veg, and used to hold my firearms license and things like that, so I'm quite capable of actually pitching a tent and you know, building a campfire and sitting around that for a week, I guess. So there is a little bit of that element in it, that
survival
sort of element.
Yeah, it came about, you know. You wouldn't be sitting around waiting through the apocalypse for some, you know, for a can opener and some canned food or something. You know, you'd know what to do.
Yeah.
Like my dogs would be if they turned loose. You know, they'd be listening to the roar of a can opener, somebody to tear open a bag.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, you know, another thing I talked about before I ask you, and I'm still fascinated with this, your trailers, and I have said this before, you know, as a publicist, I tell people this when I talk, and I've been interviewed on shows, other radio shows, about what authors and musicians should do to publicize themselves, and I always say these book trailers, they're great, but most of them could use a lot of editing.
Yeah.
And yours are just works of art. I think I was being a bit of an anti-mame with you last time, saying that I just think that there's a filmmaker in you that needs to be set free.
Yeah, I'm actually, it's funny you should say that. I've started pursuing that course, and I'm outlining a script for the first two chronicles. So I'll be putting those two chronicles together for a indie film, probably aiming around 2017 by the time I get all my other deadlines out of the way and a few other books that I'm working on. But it's definitely in the pipelines now to actually create an independent film based on the Chronicles. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes and which people I work with, and it'll be fun times ahead.
Well, you've got experience in film, though, don't you?
I have a background in filmmaking. I studied at university and toyed with some of it, and the film editing suites and all of that sort of thing, and photography background as well, which does help as far as organisational skills and timelines. And so I think I've got enough experience there to draw on. But I'm not, as much as I love to control everything, I do need help with a film. That's not something I can do by myself. So I'll have to resource some people that have got similar, interests.
But don't you create your trailers?
Sorry?
Don't you create your own trailers?
Yeah, I create my own trailers, absolutely, yep.
I mean, they're magnificent. Yeah, you know, I looked at them and thought, gosh, these had to cost a lot of money, you know, because they look so, I mean, they're professionally done, you know, they're.
Yeah, it's, especially, I just did another one, I'm not sure if you've seen it, a couple of months ago, I put another one out and that runs for about 3 minutes. So that's the one I'm proud of the most, the proudest on, in producing. So that one wasn't cheap, but I think in the world of film, you've got to be willing to actually outlay some costs if you want the final production to be even of a reasonable quality. There's nothing cheap about the artistic world, unfortunately. So you've got to be willing to spend a few dollars these days.
That's so true. And if you want to see, if you haven't been to Errol's website, I'm going to tell you now, it's ARALBEREUX.com. And the trailers are on there, and it's just exquisite. It really is. You do such... That's why I was, you know, kind of getting behind you and pushing you a little bit, because you certainly have the eye for the visual, for what needs to be to evoke the emotions and the interest in people, as well as create the story.
So. Yeah, well, I just try and sort of present what I'm seeing in my own mind, so hopefully that carries across to the audience, and anyone that's like-minded tends to sort of grip onto it and enjoy it, which is great.
Good. I'm glad, honey. I'm so glad, because I'm glad that you created the day, especially now that I'm into reading them, you know, and it's I know this is going to be one of those books that I'm just glad I have in my life, like the Huxley books or my Algonquin Roundtable books. You know, I just couldn't imagine being without them.
Thank you. That's a great honor to hear that.
It's good on this end, too. So tell me, do you have the people that you have in the videos, the trailers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there certain ones you like better than the others, like especially the guys?
I guess I just have that vision of what they look like, how they're meant to act, and I will scour the internet online for the right image. If it takes me weeks, it takes me weeks. Sometimes I might get lucky and find something within hours, but it's just a certain way in my mind how things should be with my characters, and even though I've actually tried sometimes to sway away from that just for the sake of, I've just got to get this done, I've got to get this image, and I can't find anything, I can't actually let that go. So I find that, you know, there'll be weeks on end where I'll search for one particular image or footage for the trailers or the book covers, and it's almost like this nagging little voice in my head, until I've got it there, then I can't sort of move on to the next step.
Okay, I like how you have these high alerts, these on the website. And I'm sure anyone who's a fan of yours, and you've got a lot of fans that will already have been to the website and know this, but anyone who hasn't, I like how you have all these bits of data and images, like the high alert communications.
Yeah.
For the characters and the information. Oh, my gosh.
I just try and create a world that's real for the reader, so that they can really jump feet first into it, I guess, and just feel what the characters are feeling. And I think it's important to get that sort of creativity across in a book these days. There's a lot of great authors out there, and then there's some authors that just I don't want to sort of put the indie arena down by any means, because I support it greatly, and I think it's one of the best things that's happened in the last few years to publishing. But there's some people, I guess like what you said about book trailers, they just don't know when to edit, and they don't know when to capture their audience, and they think that just simply the task of putting words down's enough. And that's not really, to me, what a book's about. You've really got to engage your audience, and that final feedback where people love that book and they can't put it down, and they, you know, identify with the characters, that's what it's about, rather than making money, to me anyway.
Yeah, true. I've got a caller calling in with this.
Oh, okay.
Errol, let's see.
Hello?
Hi, this is Jennifer Perry and Errol Beru.
No, is this Jen Perry?
Why, yes it is.
How about
and
that? I'm from the IRS. and you owe us $20,000.
Yeah. Hey, I got a stack of letters from you guys right here, okay?
That doesn't do us any good.
Obviously not. You know, if you haven't figured it out by now.
It's so funny because it took me like 15, 20 minutes to get into your show, and I also like the word dystopian. Dystopian is like, I just so love it. And I agree with your guest that you don't really want to go after the big dollar, but you want to go after your audience that you're trying to cultivate and everything like that. So that's very refreshing to hear.
Well, and by the way, we did not promise you anonymity, so please identify yourself.
Okay, I'm not with the IRS. I think I could probably go to jail for saying that. Like, it's like saying, I'm a police officer, and you must get down on the curb. I think when you falsify your ID, then you probably, you know, in big trouble. But I'm your buddy Lynn Savant from sunny South Florida.
I know who you are, but I wanted the audience to know. Errol, meet Lynn Savant, and he's a, God, this man, he's quite a talent himself. He's a musician. He's an author, multi-genre author. He is a musician, and he's also, and I said this on Facebook to someone this morning, and it is God's honest truth, he is legendary for guitars that he has built from hand.
Oh, man, that takes a real talent. I'm jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the deal is when you build one of them, you really need to, like, play them well. And I think that actually came first. But in all honesty, I had to go to Google and do the Madame Perry Salon thing to get the telephone number to call, and then. And then, it's so cool, then I got put on hold, but while I was on hold, I'm listening to the whole interview that you're having there, and I think it's wonderful, and I think it's great, and I'm going to purchase a copy of this book immediately.
Well, hey, much appreciated. Thank you.
Hey,
well,
and Lynn?
You know what? Yes.
I think you're going to be. You've got to go to Errol's website, and I think you're going to be very surprised when you do. There's a music that comes on that starts when you go to the website. That's I like the song a lot. I'm sure it's a song you know, and it fits. It was something that I think was recorded. We put out back in the '60s, and it fits this world so beautifully.
Well, here's the deal. Being a 60-year-old man, I have lived through Elvis, the Beatles, Little Richard, the Isley Brothers, Jimi Hendrix, Miles Davis, Thelonious Monk. I've lived through all of it, and I am a devout, avid fan of any kind of good music, and have experienced a lot of it in my life. And have found that it's, you know, mm-hmm. music is the universal language, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah, and we found, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because I want you to go to it, and I want everyone listening that hasn't been there to go check it out, and you'll see it's just perfect. And, you know, Lynn and Errol, I want to ask, since you're both writers, are there, you know, some people now are putting soundtracks with the books that they write, like my friend Jim Musgrave, who creates books. He's out in San Diego, and he'll create an e-book for you, but put in pictures and put in sound bites and put in music. And
absolutely, yep.
Yeah, some songs. Now, Lynn, a lot of Lynn's books, like he's got a book called The Last. It's about the last vampire, who's also he's a musician, and he even created the music, the album to go with it. And it fits the character and the time. And then my friend Danny Gillen in Scotland, who is a musician, writer. He wrote a book called Will You Love Me Tomorrow about a musician that just finally gives up, frustrated, and commits suicide. And then as he's dying from his overdose, he hears his record on the radio. It's like, here's this band that's just been signed. You're going to love it. And by then he can't. He's trying to, like, oh, my God, and I'm dying, you know. And they're playing me on the radio. And then, of course, he gets the record deal after he's dead. But he created a whole set of songs for this character.
Well,
the book.
Jennifer, what? I don't plan on doing that tomorrow.
Good, because I don't want you to, and I'm not the only. There's a lot of people
maybe
that
next,
want you alive.
Maybe later next week.
No, it was the suggestion.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'd love to, but it's just with everything else, I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your friend Errol sounds like she's from Australian or New Zealand or
Australia.
Okay. Wow. Would I like to go over to your country?
Thank you. It's personally I love it. It's a great place to go, but then the grass is always greener and I love going to America, so.
Well, the deal is that you have the Perth Opera House and you have the Great Barrier Reef, and I want to go swimming around the Barrier Reef until a shark eats me, and then fulfills Jennifer Perry's whole suicide thing. You know, you swim around the Barrier Reef. Oh, there's a shark eating me. Oh.
I will pick the month February, and I can guarantee that something like that will happen.
Either that or I'll brush up against coral in the reef and it'll, like, poison me or something. I don't know.
Well, no. Please, make no mistake. I don't want any kind of problems. This book by Danny Gillen is fiction. It is not a tutorial, okay?
Okay. All right. I got it. And I'm going
to... Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure if I've lost Lynn.
Hello?
Hey, there you
Hi,
are.
Honey.
Yep, you're still there.
Is
it on Amazon? Is the book on Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
All my work's on Amazon.
Well, then it's a cakewalk from here.
Yeah, absolutely. This is very true.
Or as they All say right. where you live, as they say in your neighborhood, Lynn, exactamente.
Well, in my neighborhood, yeah, it's exactamente. We are a suburb of Havana, Cuba, and we smoke the cigar and do all that, and eat the black beans and arroz con pollos and all like that. And I got to be honest with you. I was just in California about 2 weeks ago, and I was appalled at how arid and sere and desert-like the entire state has become. And I have figured out a way in my tiny little mind how to irrigate that part of the world, and if you would like to join me in this conversation, of course you can do it at Lynn F. Savant on Facebook or on my website www.lynnsavant.com, and I'm going to leave you two ladies to hash it out amongst yourselves. I've got some stuff I got to do. I got to get off the phone. I have to go rotate the air in my tires.
Okay. All right. Lynn Savant down in Miami, Florida. And let me tell you, Lynn, when you start reading Errol's books, you know, please come on and comment. We'd love to know what you
I
think
will.
Of
them. I'm going to do that.
And hopefully soon we'll also be able to hear your book, The 13th Restraint, which is, oh, my God, what a read. It's about Lynn's days in the 80s in Atlanta in a wild punk rock band that was quite popular. So
sounds great.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, you both of you girls, I'm going to send you a big old kiss. I'm going to send you a big old kiss right now. Mwah!
Well, wow, back at you.
All right.
All right.
Care.
So you're glad
you
called, Lynn.
All right.
Thanks. All right. is Lynn Savant. He's quite a talented guy.
He's a character too, isn't he?
Oh, he is. He really is. He's great. So, let's see. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. And you're also, okay, you said you're a photographer. You do commercial and landscape photography?
Mainly landscape these days. I used to started in wedding photography, I think. But mainly the landscape photography now. I'll just sort of pack a bag and head out somewhere in Australia or if I'm traveling and just see what I can find and take some snaps and occasionally print them up and sell them here or just publish them on my website or share with Twitter fans as well.
Oh, interesting. So, but you do put them out where we can see them on Twitter, Facebook, or I don't know if you put them on Facebook. I haven't seen them, but maybe in...
I sort of gave Facebook away just because of I'm not sure how it works over there, but certainly over here there's a lot of data that's taken down from Facebook that's very private for marketing purposes and everything. So I've sort of given away the Facebook just for those reasons.
Yeah, I can't really blame you there. So, all right, well, listen, I've got so many more things to talk to you about, but I need to take a little stop right now and read some messages from some very nice people who are helping me keep the show and keep have cool people like you on. All right, so this is a good time if you want to go get some more water, Errol,
yep.
A cup of tea
great.
Or something like that. Yeah, okay, and I'll keep going till you get back.
No problem.
So, all right. Okay, so while Errol gets a cup of tea or water or whatever, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever thought about being able to make money on the Internet? Well, despite all the quick get-rich-quick schemes, and you know we see them everywhere, there's no disputing the fact that affiliate marketing is a multi-billion dollar industry, and countless people are getting rich from it by having the right specialized knowledge. Now, you can get free membership in a training site that will provide you with over 100 free video tutorials on this business, along with PDF lesson notes. They're packed with valuable information on a wide range of topics, such as how to build your own website and make affiliate commissions from it, how to generate traffic to your site, email marketing, SEO, and much more. And in addition, you'll also get a quick start guide, which is a toolkit of resources, and access to the largest affiliate marketing community on the Internet. Again, it's all free, so you just type membership75.com into your browser and check it out. That link is membership75.com. And if you've never been involved with affiliate marketing, I've learned about it. First, if you're like me, I'm a little bit skeptical of a lot of things that, I read or see about that. But I've got it from very, very reputable people in my business that affiliate marketing is just a way of making money while you sleep. You put up, I'm not going to tell you. This membership75.com is going to tell you everything you need to know about it. So I'll also have this information on the podcast page, as well as if you go to my Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook, it'll be there. And I will also add it to Twitter for Lone Wolf Jen and Perry Jen. You'll see the information if you don't get a chance to write it down. But remember, affiliate marketing is a multi-billion dollar industry, and membership75.com has all the stuff you need to help you get going with it, right? And let's see, did you hear the ad earlier at the beginning of the show about Tom Slayton? Tom Slayton is an author, photographer, and he has a blog, though, that's very entertaining. So I would go to it, Tom Slayton, TomSlatin.com, and check out that blog. I think you'll definitely want to bookmark it for sure. I did. So, I am still back here with my friend from Victoria, Australia, who is an extremely popular author, and her name is Errol Beru. And Errol is the author of The Juliana Ray Chronicles, is one of her most popular pieces. She is what they call a dystopian or urban fantasy author. At least that's what she's known for mostly, is these kind of books. And she's created gorgeous trailers. If you just go to her website, she even has like messages and conversations, communiques between the characters of the book. So you feel like if you're the kind of person like me who, once you get into a story or a group, I mean, you could just live it. You know, you just want to feel it all around. You want to be able just to kind of escape into that world. She's got it for you right here, with between the pictures, the videos, the high alert communiques about each one of the characters, their incoming messages to each other and their responses. It's I love it. It's fascinating. And we're going to find out more about her, too. So, Errol, are you still with me?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, great. All right. I had a caller that dropped, and maybe it'll come back. It was a 404 number. And, yeah, no, unless another text saw your call, call back.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Now, here's, I don't know if you can talk about this or not.
Yeah.
But you've been doing, you're an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you also have some different things. You've been doing some investigative journalism work, I hear. I picked this up on the street.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one that I've actually been doing this for quite some time. And I've been toying with whether or not I'd actually start talking about what I'm doing, given who I work for. And it's one of those sort of things where I had one friend that suggested to me, it's sort of a very conspiracy type thing to say, but to hide in plain sight. Because this, the people that I work for basically monitor what the government monitors of us. So we're not actually well-liked. And essentially I investigate and research a lot of information that crosses my path, and I certainly get a lot of eye-opening things as well. So I basically figured it was probably time to come out, because one of my biggest gripes is that you feel like you constantly have to hide who you are and why you're doing it, when essentially all you're trying to do is get down to the bottom of the truth as to what's going on in society.
Okay. That's interesting, and yet I kind of wish I hadn't asked.
I don't think you're in any immediate danger, Jen.
I don't know. You'd be surprised. So I hope you'd be surprised.
Nothing surprises me these days.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. Can you talk about any new book you're working on?
I've got a couple of things going on at the moment. I've got another work of fiction that I'm in the process of writing, which should be out by November, December this year.
Ooh,
and that's
good.
Yeah, it's a book I'm actually really enjoying the whole writing process. This one's new to me. I've never had this in the background, completely unrelated to the J-Ray Chronicles. So very dystopian though, and a lot of elements in it. It's basically a physicist that's essentially trying to keep his family and himself safe after working for the government, and there's a lot of elements in it that do have elements of truth that have crossed my path with my other work. So I'm sort of covering things like the drone situation, how that's becoming very prevalent in our lives with drones, and the police state again, and mm-hmm. you know, little things like electronic tattoos and all of that, all these little elements are in this new dystopian world that I'm starting to create.
Oh, I'm excited. Well, will there be any characters from previous books in it?
No. I was actually thinking about having some characters perhaps overlap, whether or not J-Ray would make an appearance. And quite probable. one of the things with writing for me, I don't know what the next chapter is going to pan out to be like. I don't draft my books, I just write. So I honestly don't have any idea where this book's going to end or the middle of it. It's just one of those adventures that my writing muse has taken me on.
You know, I told you before, the last time that we were on a show together, that you, I just put up something on Twitter about you, and everybody goes crazy. People start liking it. There's lots of likes, and there's retweets and stuff. And I said, you know, you're such a huge fan base. Does that ever, are you a little in awe of that, or is it?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those things where it's almost on a daily basis that I might read something about myself, or I might even have some artwork posted to me that it just blows my mind that people would even take the time to read and listen to anything that I'd have to say. And it's just it's very humbling that people would do that. I love it. It's great. It makes things worthwhile.
Does it ever make you feel that you have a certain responsibility to your readers?
Absolutely. You've got to be careful what you say, and it's a self-censorship in that you don't want to upset the people that have put their time and effort into your work as well. So you've got to remain courteous as well as honest, and just, you've really got to ensure that your integrity remains attached, I guess. There is definitely something there that you owe the fans, because without them, this wouldn't be happening. So this is all made by them. So mm-hmm. You've really got to honour that relationship between you and your fans.
Do you get out to many conventions or things where you see your readers and the public?
I'm still very much that typical writer that keeps herself locked away. But saying that, I'm actually preparing for the next Comic-Con down here. So that'll be the last one. I only finished a couple of weeks ago. But next year I'm definitely doing the Comic-Con here, maybe going up to Sydney and doing something along those lines up there as well. And possibly even heading back to the States, maybe to do some book signings in Florida, of all places. I'm thinking I've got a couple of fellow writers there that I'd like to catch up with and do that while I'm down there.
Well, you know, Errol, if you're going to be in Florida, you might as well come to Atlanta.
I know,
and
it's not that far.
If you come to Atlanta, then I'm going to have to take you other places, like Asheville, North Carolina.
I'd love to go to Carolina. North.
Yeah. Oh, good. I've got a wonderful place there where I've had a couple of author events. It's just one, to me, it's one of the most enchanting bookstores ever. It's a bookstore and a wine bar and a coffee bar, and I hope you like dogs.
I love dogs. Any animals I love.
Because dogs are welcome with a well-behaved owner. And you can go in there and have coffee or have some champagne, and they'll bring your dog a little treat. So
that's great.
And the
we don't really have anything like that here much. So that sounds incredibly. That's awesome.
I'm going to send you some pictures because there's one particular area where they always book my events that I have for people. That's called the Middle Earth area, and it's got this Chinese table that has a canopy on it that you can let up and down. And it's I'll tell you about it later. But right now, my BFF is on the line, Kenya Colbert. Hey, Kenya.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I am fine, Errol. I am enjoying the show. I missed the beginning, but I wanted to just come on and say hi. And I am a little bit like feeling like we have kindred spirits here listening to you.
Really? How is
you
that, Kenya?
She's amazing. Actually, I was just in the bio that you gave, you listed, I can relate so well to that passion that that Errol is talking about. And she's a writer. I'm not, but I can understand that passion for life. And just that act, that little part in there where she says that the world is a mystery and I still try to unravel that, and humanity and its actions fascinate me. What would you say is the most shocking thing that you've seen in human nature? It shocks you, but it intrigues you as well and make you want to know more about people in general?
I think one of the things that really intrigues me about people is their ability to, it's almost a sociopathic tendency that seems to be breeding in people lately, that they're able to switch on and off. They one minute they're nice, and then the next minute it's like, wow, where did this come from, their actions?
It's something that
I'm coming across a lot lately, especially in my freelance work and everything, and just why they do what they do and how they do it, and the effects and consequences it has on people.
Do you think that we are a victim of our environment, that we are affected and sort of feel free to do that according to how the world is now? Social media, people are allowed to express themselves more freely. Do you think that's the reason?
I don't think that's a bad thing. I love it when people are able to express themselves freely, because I don't think there's honestly enough of that. I think what's happening is that because of social media, a lot of people are actually censoring themselves as to what their real beliefs are, fear of other people attacking them. And that's what's propelling this sort of sociopathic tendency, is that people are getting so frustrated that they can't say what they're wanting to say in that fear that they snap.
Exactly.
And that's what intrigues me.
And that intrigues me as well. I am a big social media person, and I'm a psych major too. So So I'm intrigued by the whole concept of all of this. But I was definitely just impressed with your style of writing, and how you are not afraid to speak from the heart. You know, you are able to express yourself without that fear that you were just talking about, that other people are afraid that how they might be judged or what other people will think about what they are doing.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to try and hold on to that as a person and as an individual, because if you don't have that freedom to express yourself with different opinions, then you limit yourself in how the truth is established and other opinions and resolution at the end of that. So if you don't have that freedom of speech, how are we supposed to resolve the problems that are currently happening in our world?
True. So true. And, too, with those negatives, there are positives. You just have to look for them. And I appreciate how you did in your bio, especially the part where you say you're passionate about independent artists and how technology has created this field for that, but also that the positives can be negatives. The negatives can be positives. Just because you might not understand it, maybe that's the key for us to try a little harder to understand each other and not just assume that because we're different that something is wrong with us.
Absolutely. And I think that's the crux of it, really, is that once you start taking the time to listen to the other person, then a lot of conflicts will eventually erode away, and hopefully we can just, it's a very utopian view, is that hopefully everyone can get along at the end of the day.
Right.
That whole social media thing, even though it's on a global scale and it brings people together, there's a lot of divisive arguments against it. A lot of people, you know, as I said, they're scared to say what they really feel and what they really want to say.
And I agree with that. But when you were talking about earlier with people changing and switching quickly and not being very predictable, like they might be this way right now. And then our environment, to me, really kind of tickles that, and it allows people to just express themselves maybe more than they would normally do, you think?
It's really a tough one. I see a lot of both sides with it, and I'm a big social media fan myself. So
yes.
It's just one of those things where, I mean, human nature's a fickle thing anyway, and you'd understand
yes.
that being a psych
yes.
major. But, it's one of those things, as I said in my bio, I'm just still trying to unravel the world and understand it as best I can through my writing.
Yeah, and to me, listen to you two. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kayla.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I am loving this conversation with her. I'm sorry. No, you guys go on and talk.
I was listening because I got something to say to you, too, because here's the different aspect. I'm fascinated listening to the two of you and your theories, because when you talked about people changing personalities and attitudes real quickly, and
yes.
see, you know, you guys have certain theories. If you hadn't been there to say something, Kenya, I would have piped up and said, well, I think it has to do with, you know, artificial coloring and food and fake sugars and stuff like that, GMO.
It could
you
be.
Know, so, you know, and then again, that would have come out of me. See, Errol, Kenya and I have been friends for about 16, 17 years, and we're totally opposite. You know, she's the nice one, I'm the mean one, and you
no,
know she thinks
she's not.
I come up with something like, well, it's GMOs and weird food, stuff people put in food, you know, and then she's saying stuff like, well, maybe it's because, and I'm more thoughtful.
Like,
I'll just sit on the fence and I'll say that GMOs are partly responsible too.
We don't know.
Me as well. But I am enjoying the conversation, guys. I love your stance, and I love how you really express yourself, and you're
Thank
pretty
you so much.
True. You're true to yourself, and you can hear that. And I'm enjoying the conversation, guys. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Thank you. We will.
Thanks for your call.
Hey, Kenya.
I'll tell you, you're welcome.
Hey,
talk to you guys later. Bye.
Whoa, one more thing.
I'm sorry. I'm here.
Two more things. First of all, Kenya has a podcast for kids about kids' music and books and stuff that comes on Saturdays at noon Eastern Time, and her guest this week is Laurie Berkner. And the
Yay.
Other thing, the other thing is, Kenya, I'll be right over tonight with the dogs afterwards, since you've got air conditioning in the house. Okay.
Errol, did she tell you her air went out?
Hers went out in her car. I told her. Oh, we were talking about you in the beginning, but you said I felt like a fried piece of fried chicken by the time I got home from work. And then I
Serious?
Said, well, I don't. So, I tell you what, make a deal. I'll spend the night with you, Kenya, and then I'll drive you wherever you've got to go.
I love you.
I love you.
That is a deal. That's a deal. Okay, Errol, so nice to meet you. It was very nice. Thank you.
You too, Kenya. Great talking.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
She's wonderful.
That was great.
She's my
partner. I feel like I could talk to her for hours.
Oh, you could. She's my partner in many adventures, most of which she'd probably rather forget. Especially the one on her birthday this year. I think she. But I'll tell you about that some other time. Kenya's fantastic. She really is. So. What else, if we have just a little bit of time left, what else would you want to tell us about that we can look forward to? We know where to get your books, but go ahead and say it again.
Where to get my books? Well, you can
sure.
basically head to my website, and that'll lead you in any direction as to where you want to purchase them, whether you want a book in your hand or in, you know, Kindle format or what have you. So you can head to my website for that one, errolborough.com. And just as far as future projects, as I said, I've got the fiction book in progress. It should be released by November. And working on a non-fiction expose in regards to some politicians and Freemasonry of all things. That should be coming out mid next year to late next year.
It'll
be interesting times,
I'll say. And of course, then you're planning a film.
Yeah,
and
that'll be happening as well. Yep.
And if I finally get around to really getting into my master's, I want it to be in. It'll be in film. So and don't forget that. My graduate studies, I studied entertainment publicity, specifically focused on film units at UCLA. Just keep that in your little information. Just.
I will. Don't you worry.
Don't forget JP on that, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Errol, I'm just so grateful to have you here and to do the show with me, and just so gracious that you share your worlds and your creations and your people and your ideas with all the rest of us. And we're looking forward to future books, more Juliana Ray Chronicles. Do you think there'll be more books about her to come?
Absolutely. I'm heading over to France late this year, to start researching on book 5 and one of the other characters, Caden Madison, and his life. So there'll definitely be more in the works next year as well.
All right. And anything else you want to add to your people out here, to our people?
I'd love to express my gratitude, actually, to all my fans on Twitter, just for following and you know, giving their input and just their support in general, because without them, this wouldn't be happening. So I'm really grateful for that.
And, you know, I'm grateful to your fans, too, because that's how I found you. Was it somebody? Somebody retweeted something about you on Twitter, and so then I went and checked it out, thinking, okay, I had to admit, I didn't know who you were, so I saw the tweet, and I thought, okay, I'll check it out. I thought, wow, and then I tweeted you. Of course, you don't even know who I am. You know, I could be some nutcase. But you were so gracious to me, and, you know, we talked, and you came on the show before. So, yeah, I've had a lot of good things happen with Twitter.
Yeah, and same. It's a positive experience. There's some great people on there.
Yeah, and I'm also grateful for people that listen to my show and keep it going. And just so you know, Errol Barreau fans and listeners of Madame Perry Salon, if you've ever heard one of my, and Beth Rudetsky, she's a playwright who lives in Long Island, called these shows Author Improv Nights. And now we call them sort of like the Unusual Suspects Pajama Party or whatever. I have managed to talk Errol Barreau into being a guest. In fact, she seems quite willing to do so. So in a future episode of The Unusual Suspects, Errol Barreau is going to join us. Don't know when it's going to be, but you heard it here. You still with me on this?
Yeah, I'm still with you on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to have a good time. We make sure of that. And so she will be a special guest, and we're excited about that. And just waiting for more work from you, waiting for more books. And glad you could come on the show. Thank you so very much, Errol.
Thanks for having me again, Jen.
Oh, you're very welcome. All right. So get back to work, girl. We're waiting.
I will. Full day of writing today.
All right, great. And if you're still listening here, remember, wireless carrier that has it all, Flash Wireless, go on there. Hit 916-548-7406. I'll have it on my Madame Perry Salon site so you'll know how to find it. Want to find out about affiliate marketing? And remember, that's just where you can make money while you sleep. Go to membership75.com, and they will send you information on how to build your own website and make affiliate commissions from it, generate traffic to your site, do email marketing, SEO, all kinds of groovy stuff. That is membership75.com. And don't forget, go to the blog of Tom Slaytin, TomSlaytin.com. And if you need some writing done, some photography done, or if you just want to enjoy a well-done blog, go check out Tom Slaytin. And always, go to the website for Errol Barreau, ARALBEREUX. My gosh, This is a fantastic website from a fantastically creative woman. And Madam Perry loves you. And I want you to go out and remember this. If you love an author or a book or something, go to somewhere, Amazon, Goodreads or something, and leave them a review. You'll certainly appreciate it. And be nice to someone today and tomorrow, no matter what they act like, because you don't know what they're going through. I love you. I think Earl Barreau loves you, too. I think she
absolutely
does. Yeah, she does. And we'll see you next week on Madam Perry Salon. Thank you, folks, and good night.